You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
I had a discussion with a woman this morning, and it's the same discussion I've had with many people over time. They come and they say, you know, will your information help me with this situation? And I will always say, well, there are tools there that can help you work on your marriage, and you need to decide whether it fits for you. And this person said, I'll do anything to save my marriage. And that's always my biggest concern, if somebody actually lives out that belief that they'll do anything to save their marriage. Now, what she was telling me was that she was ready for anything to help the relationship. Now, let me reassure you that this person who was talking with me is not the only person I've heard this from. In fact, this is a very common phrase I hear from people where they just say, I'll do anything to save my relationship. And my first question is, what have you done so far? And a lot of times it's as if they've done everything, right? They've tried everything left and right, and that's part of the problem. So here's why I have a concern with that. The statement, I'll try anything to save my marriage, is out of desperation. That's where it comes from, that feeling of desperation. And I just want to say that desperation is never the best guide for what you are going to do. It's never the best guide for choosing your actions. In fact, it's one of the worst guides. Now, desperation is a natural place to be. It's a fear response that feels like the whole world is crushing in and your whole world is crashing down because of what's going on in the relationship. And it can make you feel desperate to do anything. I just want to caution that if part of what's driving you is desperation, be very careful to allow that to be your guide. Now, that may be the starting point for any process, but it doesn't need to be the guiding force for a process. We live in a world that's dripping with information, but not all information is good. It's just that we're dripping in information. If you go on the internet, you can find absolutely anything and everything to support any and every position. And it can be there from people who know what they're doing, and it can be there from people who have not a clue what they are doing. It can be from credible sources, or it can be from non-credible sources. And just because it's out there doesn't mean you have to pursue it. So instead of doing anything to save a relationship, I suggest that people decide to do something to save their marriage. Not everything, not anything, but something. And to aim that very carefully in the direction that makes sense in their life. Because the information is going to come at you from every direction. You can go to a bookstore and go to the self-help section and find book after book after book after book on marriage. Some of them will be helpful. Some of them will not be. You can go on the websites and find site after site after site and forum after forum after forum and offer after offer after offer that lets you think that you're getting information that may be useful. One of the things I do with people who have come through my site is to give them access to information that I think makes sense. Part of the reason I do these podcasts is so that I can get out information that I think makes sense. Now, not everybody's going to agree with me. Not everybody's going to like what I have to say, but I think that it makes sense, and I think it's a sensible approach. So when I tell people about information, it's because I have already looked at it. I already know what's there. I already understand where it's coming from, and I agree with where it's coming from. And I also provide information that is compatible with where I come from. So what I want to do is to propose that perhaps there are some rules to help you think through what you should do and what information you should follow and how you can make the choice on what something to do rather than trying to do anything or trying to do everything. So when you find information, I would suggest that there are five things you want to use as filters for understanding that information. And they're very simple filters, but they're very important because they're going to move you out of desperation and they're going to move you into a place of sensibility to make you choose the right things. Now, let me tell you the difference between this and the desperation approach. If you do the desperation, if you grab anything you can and you try everything you can, and anything that crosses your desk or comes across your computer is fodder for your efforts, you end up with a very confused spouse, you end up with a very confused self, you end up with very little change, and you end up with what often looks like a train wreck of a situation because you've come at it from desperation and fear. Now, desperation and fear, if you've ever watched an animal who's desperate or fearful, they're kicking and screaming and moving in every direction all at once. Makes a lot of noise, sometimes gets them away from the predator, but only shortly. And so the same thing is true with you. As you're making a lot of noise, you might get a little of attention. But don't assume that attention means that anything long-term has changed. If you're coming at this with anything possible, your spouse is going to be standing back going, what is going on here? So let me give an example. I've heard people who will start off with begging, and then they'll go to pleading, and then they'll go with threatening. Now, begging and pleading kind of go together. Threatening is at the opposite end. And then they try to be amicable, and then they try to do everything their spouse wants them to. And then they try reverse psychology, and then they might cast a spell or find someone who casts a spell. And then they start telling their spouse what's wrong with them, psychologically speaking. And then they might even have a little crisis of their own, and around it goes. And you can find support out there for every one of those actions. Support does not equal success, and support does not equal functional. It just means that somebody is willing to say that and hope that somebody will jump onto their information. So let's talk about these five rules that I would like for you to use to assess information and to decide if it's something you want to work towards. If it doesn't meet any of these five factors, toss it aside. Don't continue as you go through these factors. Okay, so the first one is this person qualified to help? Is the person qualified to help? Now, that does not mean that they have to have the highest degree and have published lots and lots of books and have lots and lots of articles and be held out as a name. In fact, I would suggest that there is a lot of information out there from people you don't know from the media. They are excellent therapists, they are excellent coaches, they are excellent researchers, and they're putting out good information that maybe has not made it into the mainstream. That does not mean it's bad information. But what I'm talking about are people that you can't figure out where they're coming from. You can't figure out what their pedigree is. It may be that they are a marketer who can't tell you anything about any of their qualifications because they have none. Because they are really creating a market product. They don't have any skills. They don't have any training. They don't even have any experience working with couples. And what they've done is decided that this is a really good market for them, not one where they excel. And so if you can't find a good pedigree of why this person should be telling you what to do, disregard it. Even if you think, well, that's an interesting idea, they need to be coming at it from a trained perspective. They need to have training in some manner. They need to have worked with couples, and they need a success record that you can look at. The second question is, does the situation they're talking about match your situation? Are there places where you can say, okay, this is just like my situation, or would you be going, this has nothing to do with my situation, but I'm willing to do anything, so I'll try this out? The reason this is important is because a lot of times people come at it from very different perspectives, and it can work in a certain perspective, it can work in a certain situation, but it cannot apply in other situations. So you want to make sure that what you're doing is matching up the situation with the solution. The danger is trying to apply a solution with a situation. That's why when I am talking in my information, I come up and help you assess where you are in the process, because that changes even how you move forward. So make sure that whatever information you're getting matches your situation. The third thing is a suggestion or the approach compatible with your morals and standards? I call this the smell and taste test. Can you look at the information and say, you know what, that really does fit well with me. I mean, that really kind of fits into my morals and my standards. For instance, let's say that you really are not that big on manipulation. If you find something that is very manipulative, you may decide that that really doesn't match your morals. It really doesn't match your ethical place in the world. For some people, it might. You know, there may be people who say, yep, I'm all about manipulation. I'm a Machiavellian at heart. And so I will do all the manipulation I have to get this turned around. But you've got to ask, is it matching? Because if you are Machiavellian, I can promise you it's not my information you'll be attracted to. It might be somebody else's, but mine is not based on manipulation. Mine is based on creating an honest, open, and growing relationship. If that is not your place, though, then find one that is. All I'm suggesting is that you want to make sure that whatever information you're pulling from meets your smell and taste test, that you can sniff it and it smells okay, that you can taste it and it is compatible with your taste buds. It fits into your moral fiber, that is nothing that you find to be offensive or dangerous. That's a big one for me. If you from a long way away are going, wait, something doesn't feel right here, don't then say, well, if it'll work, I'll do it. Recognize that if it doesn't fit with your ethics and your morals, you need to walk away as quickly as possible. Number four, can I do this in good conscience? I call this the mirror test. So you've got the smell taste test and now the mirror test. Can you imagine yourself following through on the advice that's been given? The reason I say it's the mirror test is because you want to be able to stand in front of your mirror in your bathroom and say, I did that. I feel good about it. Really, that is one of my bottom layer places where I want people to be able to be at the end of a process. Not every marriage is going to be saved, but the question is, at the end of the process, can you look in the mirror and say, I did everything I could. I did everything I knew how to do and everything I could do within my conscience to save this relationship. And if you're looking at yourself in the mirror and say, I can't do that and feel good about myself, I can't feel good about the process that I'm going through, you need to walk away. You don't do anything when you cannot stand in the mirror and say, yes, I approve of this and I approve of me taking action on that. To me, this is just one of those big life skills that no matter how good the situation comes along, you need to be able to look in the mirror and say, yes, I'll do that. I've had several businesses come my way that failed the mirror test. I looked at them and said, you know what? It's a good opportunity. Probably lots of people are making a lot of money on this, but I can't look at myself in the mirror and say, I agree with that. I can't look in the mirror and say, I can stand behind me doing that. Somebody else may be able to. That's up to them. That's between them and their mirror. But you want to make sure that your actions in the world, no matter what it is, including working on your marriage, can stand that mirror test. Many times when we feel that desperation, something's pinching at us, we set aside the mirror test. We set it aside and decide to embrace something else just because it feels like we have to. There is no place that is worth not being able to look in the mirror and say, I approve of myself doing that. And the last thing, number five, is it compatible with what I'm already doing? Let's say you've already started a path. Maybe you found information, my information or somebody else's information. You read something else. Then you need to measure and say, I've already accepted this method. This is the approach I'm following. Does this now follow that? If what you're next going to do does not fit in, is not compatible with what you're already doing, you either need to say, yeah, this other one was never really what I needed to be doing, or say, no, I'm not going to go this new approach. Now, let me be clear that there is a lot of experts, trainers, researchers, therapists, coaches who have some very similar approaches. And usually that's because we're on the same track. We see some truths that are there. We may say it differently. We may add an extra spin to it, but we're basically compatible with each other. And then there are places where there is an incompatibility, either in worldview or approach. And that's the discerning eye to say, does this add to what I'm already doing or does it change the direction? If it changes the direction, don't just follow that path. You may say, wow, you know what? I've been on a very utilitarian approach. I've been very Machiavellian about this. I've been very manipulative about this. And I realize that's not where I need to be. This other path, it's about honesty and it's about commitment and it's about connection. That's the path I want to go. Well, then you can change paths, but do it consciously. And then don't add on things that don't make sense. Only add things that add to the value of the direction you're already headed. Okay, so one more time, let's think about this. The goal here is to not do anything to save your marriage. It's to do something to save your marriage, something that makes a lot of sense to you, something that really fits into your worldview. So don't allow the desperation to be your guide. Instead, ask yourself five questions as you are looking at the information. Number one, is this person qualified to help me? Number two, does the situation that they're talking about match my situation? Number three, is the suggestion or approach compatible with my morals and standards? Does it pass the smell and taste test? Number four, can I do it in good conscience? The mirror test. And number five, is it compatible with what I am doing? The last question, you may say it's not compatible, but it's the better approach. Or you may say, yes, it fits in. Either way, you need to at least be asking the question, is it compatible with what I'm doing? If you're ready to find an approach and you haven't yet, I'm just going to urge you, please try out the Save the Marriage system. It's tested. It's proven. There's a link just below. There are other links to some other resources to help you with that process. But do find the approach that works. The danger is, instead of doing anything and everything, of doing nothing. That's a big danger. So you want to do something, but you want to do something that makes sense. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.